In Romans 8, verse 29, Paul said that God's people are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, what does that mean? Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, that simply means that we want to, as we look at the Lord's life, learn how to become more and more like him, more and more like we see Jesus as he lived his life on the earth. Well, someone might say, how do I do that? There are a number of answers that might be given to that question, but maybe a summary answer is found in 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been studying 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Peter said, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness. In recent weeks, we have looked at all of these qualities one by one. And as you look at these qualities, you find that they really take the people of God in different directions. Some of what Peter talked about is directed inward. When we think about growing in faith and increasing in knowledge, those are items that actually occur inside of us. When we think about godliness, that was a quality that we discussed last week, that really points us in an upward direction. We're headed towards God. When we look at some other qualities, the second to the last item in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 is described as brotherly kindness. Well, that trait points us not upward, it points us not really inward, but it now points us outward. In the world, we certainly find a lot of times, a lot of examples when people are unkind. We recently saw in the national news a story of a young man who killed more than 30 people. About that same number lived to tell about it. Then just the other day, if you saw the news once again, there was a shooting at the Space Center. More bad, more sad news. And if we stay tuned this week, there's a very good chance that we'll receive even more bad and sad news very, very soon. Day after day, we find that in our society, throughout the world, there are plenty of examples where kindness is not displayed. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, as Peter lists these qualities, he said brotherly kindness is part of the package. This is something that God's people are to show. Well, what does he mean by brotherly kindness? It's not really a difficult word to define. In fact, the term that Peter uses is a single word, but it is a compound word. That is, this particular term is made up of two separate words. The first part of the word is the word for love, and the second part of the word means brother. So in simple terms, brotherly love is that we love our brethren, we cherish, we honor, we respect one another. It's a word that's used at different times in the New Testament. It's certainly not one of the most popular words, but neither is it one of the rarest words. Paul used it in places like Romans chapter 12, verse 10. He said, be tenderly affection one towards another. And in that same verse, he said, in love of the brethren. This kindness calls to mind the fact that Christians are members of the same spiritual family. We all have the same faith. And because of that unique relationship, the Bible says we need to be good one to another. God is pretty serious about this matter, and we know that because of what we find in the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. In that passage, the Bible says that we are to love one another. And then John adds a reason. We love one another because love is of God. Then in verse 8, John goes on to say this. If we do not love one another, if we do not have the brotherly love that we see in 2 Peter chapter 1, we cannot know God. We cannot know God, John says, because God is love. Then at the end of this chapter, 1 John 4, we find a contrast. John pictures a man, a Christian, who says he loves, but he hates a brother. And John says that's pretty serious. In fact, for a man to say that he loves God but does not love his brother, John says you're a liar. You're not telling the truth. That cannot be the case. If a man loves God, he will also love his brethren. And that goes back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Brotherly love means brotherly kindness. Not long ago, there was a man, not a member of the church and not religiously inclined, at least as we would typically think of that. He talked with me for a while, about an hour, and he said that there had been, not too long ago, a man who spoke with him about 45 minutes about a particular matter. And that man thought that that was a good thing. That actually stood out in his mind as being something that was unique. Here is a man who didn't know him very well, and yet he was willing to devote almost an hour of his time to answer some questions, and that man counted that experience as a demonstration of love and concern. Well, that should be the way that we operate, especially with our brethren. Jesus dealt with this topic in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He promised that his disciples, if they practiced brotherly love, 2 Peter chapter 1, that his disciples would be known by and for their love. Now, as we look at the Bible, Jesus, of course, had in mind non-Christians, that is, the unsaved, would see this love and they would be impressed by it. Peter did not have in mind the unsaved in 2 Peter chapter 1, but when he talks about brotherly love, he was thinking about Christians here having brotherly love for Christians who are over here. If saved people can treat the unsaved with love, and that's right, and that's consistent with the Bible, then certainly we need to have brotherly love, saved people treating other saved people with love. That's God's plan. And that's not a hard plan to explain. But we do find at times examples or instances where God's plan is either not put into practice, or perhaps it's very difficult to practice. We know that because of some other things that we find in the Scriptures. Back in the Old Testament, before Christianity began, before the law of Moses was initiated, we have the Old Testament story about Cain and Abel. Now, here are two men. They were brothers. But you know, in that particular story, we do not find a lot of brotherly love. Cain killed Abel. He slew his own brother. And from that story, we find that God knows man well enough to realize, to understand, that brotherly love is not always practiced. So the Bible deals with this subject in a number of places because it knows, it understands that it can be a failing on the part of God's people. The word that's used in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 also occurs in the Hebrew letter. It's found in Hebrews 13, verse 1, that last chapter. And as the writer comes to the end of that book, he simply says this, let brotherly love continue. And again, it is not a hard statement to explain. There's no difficulty in exegeting the passage. What did the author know? He knew that Christians can fail in brotherly love. So as he comes and he gives a number of short exhortations, he says, let this quality perpetuate. Paul said basically the same thing to the Thessalonians, and I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, he told these Christians that there were some things wherein they'd been instructed and they didn't need any more information about that. They already knew this stuff. And Paul, in the context of the thought, was talking about brethren, brotherly love. When Paul suggests this brotherly love as far as a topic, he's really involved with the basic things of Christianity. And he says to these Christians, you've been doing pretty well in this area. But then he adds this, after talking about that love in verse 9, he said, for indeed, you do it, that is this brotherly love, toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But even though you do this, even though you do this on a widespread scale, Paul said, but we exhort you, brethren, that ye abound more and more. Abound, increase in what? In brotherly love. The same quality from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. So here was a group of people, their love and their concern was exercised locally, as well as outside their local area. And Paul said, I want you to increase in this quality. That should be, if we're a child of God, one of the things that we strive for today. To not only have brotherly love in our area, to have that extend outside our local area, but for that to be broadened too. Now that does not suggest, as some have tried to propose, that we simply accept everything that comes along. Sometimes people say, well, brotherly love, that means that we're going to tolerate what's wrong and we're going to fellowship error. No, it doesn't mean that. It's never meant that. It does mean that we embrace in the warmest and the fullest possible way the people who are following the will of God. And then at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4:10, Paul says that ye increase more and more. It is possible for people who even have a great deal of brotherly love to grow in this particular area. You know, as we look at people, we find that every single individual has a relationship with others in life. In the early years, it's typically the case that the relationships somehow involve adult figures. Even if a child does not know who his mother is, who his father is, who both parents are, there is usually some adult in the life. And as we look at families, it's almost always the case that children have brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, that kind of thing. A lot of happiness and contentment comes from having a good relationship with those relatives, with parents and aunts and uncles, that kind of thing. Hopefully, as people go through their formative years, as they have those interactions with these people, they see the right love in those family relationships. And then they're able to bring that love into the church because that's what the Bible teaches. We need to have brotherly love one for another. That's the quality that Peter's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. When we look at the church, I have yet to find a congregation of God's people or even a church that does not consist of New Testament Christianity, people who do not want happiness and satisfaction. People want that in their religious group. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, here is a way to accomplish that. Do you want a tool? Do you want a technique? Do you want to make that work? Do you want to have a congregation where people really want to be at? Then brotherly love, brotherly kindness needs to exist. Have you also noticed or considered where Peter puts this quality in his list? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Before brotherly kindness and love, that's a quality next week, and we can draw a distinction between these two items. Peter speaks about godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about godliness, and we showed that the word godliness basically has two ideas. First of all, godliness has the idea of having a right attitude towards God. Godliness also means that our actions towards God are right. Now, if our attitude towards God is right, and that's love, 1 John chapter 4, then love will be part of the package. If our actions towards God are right, and that's also part of godliness, then the next logical step is brotherly love. The two just go together. And that's why Peter was able to word his point in this way. We cannot have brotherly love or kindness without godliness. Neither can we have godliness without brotherly kindness. Godliness is really the foundation for the final two qualities in 2 Peter chapter 1. When I was going through the book of Romans, I struggled a little bit with Romans chapter 1, verse 31. Paul, in that particular passage, talks about those who lack natural affection. And this sin is listed with some very other terrible actions in Romans chapter 1. And when Paul talks about not having natural affection, he's really describing people who have no love. The bonds of human affection have been destroyed. They've been torn asunder to the point where you just can't even find them. You can't see them anymore. The people who are nearest and dearest are treated in a way that was is unloving and uncaring. And I struggled for a little while trying to figure out how to convey those ideas. It was difficult to really define and describe what Paul was trying to convey. And one of the sources that I finally turned to was an old commentator. He's been gone for a long time. But one of his comments as I was going through that material then made sense to me, and it makes sense now. When he talked about not having natural affection, he said, "Even brutes show such love." And I thought that was a brilliant observation from about 100 years ago. Without natural affection, people get a big fat zero in the love department. Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if one Christian said to another, "You treat a stray animal better than you treat me." Now, I've never heard one Christian say that to another, but just suppose that this week one said that to another. Or we might revise it a little bit, and a person, Christian, said to another member of the church, "You treat your neighbor's dog better than you treat me." Again, someone might say that. Or if we revise it a little bit more, "You feed wild birds, but you treat me with scorn and contempt." In view of 2 Peter chapter 1, those statements, if they were true, would be absolutely contemptible. They would show, they would reflect anything but brotherly love. They would mean that the person had lost that natural affection that they should have, Romans 1, verse 31. Brotherly love is something that we want to create, something that we want to cultivate, something that we want to keep. And as Paul told the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 10, something that we also want to help make grow. There are a lot of ways that we can see if brotherly love exists, and different tests might be used to see how well a congregation or maybe an individual is doing. But maybe one of the easiest tests that we can apply is to walk into a congregation and see what happens after the service ends. If you've traveled a little bit, or if you've been a member of a congregation in different places over a period of several years, you can probably identify with what I'm going to describe. What happens 5 minutes after the service ends will tell you a lot about a local congregation. It will speak volumes. You might learn more in the first 5 minutes after the service ends than you will in the first 3 months. If after 5 minutes the lights are out and the parking lot is empty, assuming there's no fire, there's probably not a lot of brotherly love at that congregation. Why not? Because if people love one another, if they cared for one another, they'd hang around and talk to one another for a little while. But if you have a situation where the service dismisses and you still have people that are there 15 minutes later, 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, or an hour later, people love one another. A lot of ways to demonstrate brotherly love. If a brother is weak and the strong are mindful of him, here's a person who is struggling in some particular area, and a Christian does something perhaps that he or she normally would not do, then the Bible says that is another way to demonstrate brotherly love. Paul mentions this specifically in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. He says, "Now we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Why do that, Paul? Well, there are a number of reasons, but one of those reasons would be brotherly love. When brethren are kind in their judgment towards one another, there is brotherly love. James talked about this in his letter, James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He said, "Speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law." And then in verse 12, he said, "But if thou judgest the law, thou art a doer of the law. Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One only is a lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and destroy. But who art thou that condemnest or judgest thy neighbor? Another passage in this regard, which talks about brotherly love, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said, warn the unruly. When a person is not walking in the right way, let them know they need to be warned. Comfort the faint-hearted. And then he said, uphold the weak. Then we find a related principle in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul said, do good to all men, but especially to them that are of the household of faith. How come? Because brotherly love is something that is a part of the New Testament faith. Have we ever had a Christian do good to us? If we have been a Christian for 6 months, a year, or probably longer, have we ever had a time in our life when a Christian came to our aid? Did it happen one time? Okay. Did it happen twice? What about thrice, three times? How many times has someone been good to us? Well, those were times. Those were examples of brotherly love. That's letting brotherly love continue. We have some strong incentives for brotherly love. We have the same spiritual father. We have the same master, Jesus. We all have a part in the same spiritual family. New Testament Christians are all on the same road. We all want to get to the same place. All are headed to the same inheritance promises. And you know, very few trips, at least the ones that I've been on, are without difficulty. I'm not really talking about coming here to the building or another short trip, but generally, if we take a trip that involves some time, some distance, there are headaches, there are problems. It may be a transportation issue. It may be a lodging issue. We make a reservation at a particular place, which is several miles away, and we get there and we find that the room has been rebooked, it's been canceled, or something else. And those have some parallels to the Christian life. As we go through life, we're going to find some bumps and we're going to find some potholes at various times. But the Bible says that in every single case, we need to do our best to let brotherly love continue. Peter didn't use this word in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, but he certainly reflected the thought. In that verse, 1 Peter 1:22 says, love the brethren fervently. Well, why did Peter say that? Seems to me that if that were a natural thing, if that's something that we always did, that information would be absolutely useless. There would be no purpose at all in putting that in the scriptures. But Peter knew something. He was old enough, he was wise enough, and he was inspired to recognize that there are times in life when God's people do not love each other as they should. So he said, you learn to love one another. And he said, you learn to do that fervently. Because there are going to be some times when you don't want to do it. There are going to be some times when you fail. It's not always easy. And maybe that's why Jesus in John chapter 3 said that if we want to be a child of God, we've got to have a new birth. The old way, the typical way that people live, it's not going to cut it. And in that new birth, in that new life, we're not always going to be perfect. But we do commit ourselves to living the best kind of life that we can, a life which is consistent with the information that we find in the New Testament. And part of that life is brotherly love. Have we signed off on the new birth? Have we said this is the way that we need to go? We hope so. Jesus said for that new birth to occur, it needs to involve water and spirit. Spirit, of course, is simply finding out the terms of the new birth in the New Testament, and part of those terms involve water. The terms, as we look at them, we've got to believe, otherwise there's no sense in the rest of the process. And we know from brotherly love that that's not something that people often do before they become a Christian, so that implies repentance. And once we acknowledge that we want to live in the right way, we want to take the better road, then also Jesus in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, talked about being born of water. That's simply a reference to baptism, and that's a wonderful thing. It allows a person's sins to be completely removed. Acts 22, verse 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. And after we've had that experience, we continue to live as a child of God the best that we can. And part of that life involves being tenderly affectionate one to another, pursuing brotherly love in the best way that we can every single day of our lives. If we've not yet experienced a new birth, if we have and we've fallen, if there's some way that we can help you as a child of God or to become a Christian, and you'd like that help to be given to you now, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?